And from the little town of Aricia, which is just 16 miles from the city of Rome, there is a vantage point, a knob of a hill, where a traveler going down the vale and uphill, suddenly the whole city of Rome just bursts into sight, 16 miles distant. And this was the first peak that the apostle had of this empire city.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, pastor of our church, and today we're moving with Paul as he travels right into the city of Rome. He gets his first sight of the city, then he moves into his HQ, which becomes the very center of the New Testament church from then on. And I trust you'll stay tuned with us as we get into that message today. Our Bible verse for today is from Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. These words to Archippus are words that every Christian servant need to take heed. We need to realize that we will be held accountable and that we have received this ministry. It is God's gift, and that we are called to fulfill it. We cannot be afford to be found slacking. We cannot afford to be found wasting time. The harvest fields are white and the laborers are few. So let us be up and be found busy, taking heed to the ministry and the gospel ministry of the Lord Jesus, preaching the cross, preaching Christ, telling men their need of Jesus is the urgent need of today. Therefore, today, go tell someone the old story of the cross and fulfill the great task for which the Lord has saved you. Let's unite in prayer for that very reason. O God, our Father, we thank thee today for this verse of exhortation that we are to fulfill the ministry which God has given. And I pray that this will be true of me today, even on these airwaves, that men and women may hear the gospel. And I pray that hearts will rejoice in the truth and that thy blessing will be upon thy word. So hear from heaven, answer prayer, bless every listener with the hearing of faith, and may there be a work of grace in every soul. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, we follow the apostle right into the city of Rome this evening. His landing point from ship by ship to land was at the city of Puteoli. That was the Vancouver of Italy. It was the grain port of the nation. And the grain ships from North Africa arrived at this destination. You may have noticed that the two ships already Paul has been on, the ship that was wrecked in Miletum, going over to Malta, was from Alexandria. And then this next ship that is taking him on to Italy and to Rome was also a ship of Alexandria and would have been a grain ship. Now, the travel by road from this harbor city to the city of Rome took Paul close by the city of Pompeii, which would have been on the right-hand side or on the eastern side as he traveled. And behind the city of Pompeii, which was still existent in this day when Paul made that journey, was the Mount Vesuvius. Now, that mountain erupted in 79 AD. So not very long after, about 17, 18 years later, that mountain erupted and its lava flow buried the complete city of Pompeii and its residents. It has become a place of great research for archaeologists. And in that city was buried the wife of Felix and one of their children. That's just a little aside of the disaster that took place in AD 79. But as Paul traveled that road, the city of Pompeii was still there. And as he traveled that road toward Rome, it was an arduous journey, uphill, downhill. It must have been very refreshing for Paul to be met by fellow Christians who took the time to leave Rome, make the journey toward Paul's travel, and meet him at the place called Three Taverns. Now we're told in verse 15, that he thanked God and took courage. This was a tremendous, tremendous encouragement to his own heart. Paul by this time was worn physically. He was worn mentally. And perhaps he was even worn spiritually. Having traveled by sea in winter season, suffered shipwreck on an island for 3 months, by another journey, now journeying by land, wondering what was ahead of him, and to be met by living Christians, some of whom he knew by face. What a great encouragement this was to Paul. And it says here, he took courage. There's no telling what the sight of a friendly face can do to cheer a person up in lonely circumstances. Now, the Appian Way, it climbs and then it descends along this southern slopes. And after passing a place called Lanuvium, it crossed a crater-like valley with immense rock piles to one side. And they still remain to this day. And from the little town of Aricia, which is just 16 miles from the city of Rome, there is a vantage point, a knob of a hill, where a traveler going down the vale and uphill, suddenly the whole city of Rome just bursts into sight, 16 miles distant. And this was the first peak that the apostle had of this empire city. As he would have strained his eyes, remember his vision was not perfect. There would have been no cupola to see. There would have been no crosses on any building. In that day, Romans worshipped Caesar himself. They worshipped man. And Rome proper was a very compact city with a radius of something like 12 miles. As Paul looked at this from the distance, he may have wondered, is this the Rome that I've heard about? Now, out of that concentrated center, there were sprawling suburbs, as in many major cities. But the city itself was a mass of narrow roads, old stone buildings. The era of massive building in Rome had not yet taken place. That had not taken place until after the burning of Rome in 64 AD. And that was after Paul's death. And so as Paul would have entered the city, he would have noticed a great diversity in the buildings around him, with very narrow streets, some of them not very impressive at all. And inside this compact city center dwelt 2 million people at that day. One of the million of these people would have been slaves. Nearly every Roman would have had at least one slave. And so anyone of any status or standing would have had a good number of slaves. At that time, there were only a few senators in the city. There were some 10,000 knights who filled public offices. They were the administrators of the Roman Empire. There were 15,000 permanently stationed troops, guards of the emperor. They were known in Rome as the Praetorium. Besides these, there was no middle class. They were either those who were of high office, high status, or those who were just ordinary, everyday Romans who had very little property, very little assets. There was no middle class, because if any man wanted a job done, all he had to do was to buy a slave. And there were plenty of slaves to be had, and plenty of free labor. And so, a middle class did not develop in Rome in Paul's day. There were 1 million slaves, and almost as many who were living with very little of this world's goods, living on the handouts of the emperor. And the emperor liked it that way. He kept his citizens with their handout. And these were the Romans that lived for the games. They lived for the entertainment that again was provided by the emperor. They were proud of Roman citizenship. They were proud of being living in the city of Rome. But many of them lived in mere porticos, lived in doorways, and lived for the bread handouts of the day.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. And we're coming back to the city of Rome. We're going to look at the Jewish population and how Paul was able to call them in preach the gospel to them, and then we'll look at the Christian segment in the city. So stay tuned with us here as we let the Bible speak.
The Jews had a stronghold on this city. They were there in strength as usual, and they had a section of the city which was known as the Jewish ghetto. Again, everywhere that the Jews were concentrated in numbers, they isolated themselves. And as you remember, Priscilla and Aquila had been banished from Rome under Claudius. Such was the strength of Judaism within this city that it became a threat to the emperor, because the Jews believed in a political Messiah. And as the doctrine of a political Messiah grew, the threat to the emperor grew. And the Jews under Claudius were deported out of Rome. And that is how Priscilla and Aquila ended up in Corinth, and how Paul, being a tent maker, met up with them in Corinth. But when Paul arrived in Rome, the Jews were back, because Claudius was dead and Nero was on the throne. And the early years of Nero was a kindly administration. And the Jews were back, and they were regaining their old hold and grip upon the city. You'll find here in chapter 28, when Paul was there, 3 days later, he called for the Jewish chief leaders to come to his prison cell to hear the gospel. And they arranged a day, and you'll find in verse 23 that when the day appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. These were the Jews of the city. So there was a Jewish component, a strong Jewish component within the city of Rome. Now, these were some of the most unprejudiced Jews that Paul had ever met in his missionary work. Usually when he went to a city, the Jews were hostile. But at first, these Jews were fairly open-minded. They had not yet heard of Paul or much about him. They certainly hadn't heard any of the accusations that were led against him. That tells us something. That Paul got to Rome before his accusers did. He traveled by sea by winter, when most people didn't. And that's another reason why Paul's imprisonment for 2 years, why this took so long. It was a law of the Romans that a man cannot be tried unless he is face to face with the witnesses of his accusers. And so it took a considerable time until all those who were accusing him with their witnesses from various cities made the journey to Rome. And so for that reason, he was 2 years before the trial took place. And that's just a little window into the state of the city, the state of Judaism in Rome and its strengths. But there is also a Christian element already in Rome. He was met on the Appian Way by a number of living Christians who really gladdened the heart of the apostle. And also, Paul had already written his letter to the Roman church some years before from Corinth. And the letter to the church at Rome, Paul lists his intention to make this trip to visit the city and to minister to these saints. And if you read the first chapter in the book of Romans, you'll find Paul's intent to visit the living congregation that is meeting in the city of Rome. So there is a Christian group there. Now you'll notice that their impact on the city is not that great. If you look at chapter 28, verse 22, we find here that these Jews said, "We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." So the presence of the Christians in Rome was known, but not very well understood. They were there, but their numbers were relatively small in a fairly major city, 2 million people. And they could meet, as they did, in houses, with not a lot of publicity. And so these Jews had never really heard much about Christianity as yet, until they met Paul. But that doesn't mean that the Christian church in Rome was totally weak. I think if you turn to the book of Romans chapter 16, you will discover. Now, remember that the book of Romans was written at least 2 years. Remember, he was a couple of years in prison in Caesarea. Maybe 3 years prior to Paul's arrival in the city. And here in chapter 16, he's listing a whole lot of names of real people, real Christians, living in the city of Rome. Chapter 16, 1, "I commend unto you Phoebe." Well, she's the one that's carrying the letter. If you look down at the little postscript at the end of the epistle, at the end of chapter 16, you'll notice written to the Romans from Corinthus and sent by Phoebe, servant of the church at Cenchrea. Cenchrea was a suburb of Corinth. And so Phoebe was taking the letter to Rome. And she was traveling there, and she was being introduced. And she was being recommended that the people there assist her in whatsoever business she hath, and of the work that she's already done. And then verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila." That's the same Priscilla and Aquila that Paul met at Corinth. They're back in Rome, because the deportation that Claudius made is over. Nero is on the throne. The Jews are back. Priscilla and Aquila are also back. But they're now no longer Jews. They are Christians, probably converted through Paul at Corinth, and a part of the real church in Rome. Then verse 5, you have Epaphroditus. Verse 6, you have Mary. Mary, who already had bestowed much labor on Paul. She's now living in Rome. A whole list of people here in chapter 16 who were friends, helpers of Paul in other situations, they're now in Rome. One I'll particularly draw to your attention is in verse 10. "Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household." Aristobulus was the grandson of Herod the Great. Because he is of such a lineage, there is a good history about him. Aristobulus was a confidant of Claudius, and therefore he went to reside in the city of Rome. Aristobulus would have taken with him servants. And you'll notice the recommendation: "Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household." They're Christians. They are members of the church at Rome. And I'm simply trying to draw the picture that at Rome there were a good number of mature, experienced believers whom Paul knew one by one. He knew them intimately. He knew them by name. And so as Paul went to that city, a stranger, yet there were a good number of people in the Roman church, or the church at Rome, whom Paul knew intimately. And he would have had good, strong fellowship with them immediately. And so this was the shape of Rome, which Paul discovered as he entered the city for the first time. He was in the most powerful city on earth in his day, and yet it was a city made up of many parts, many races, many social classes, and as I said, many of the people were living on the handouts of the emperor, or they were slaves, bought and sold for their skills and their labor. And so for 2 years, Paul was placed in a house under arrest, chained night and day by Roman law. He was not allowed 1 hour of personal freedom from the chain to a Roman soldier for 2 years. In that prison cell. For you and me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Ian Gallagher, and I trust that you will join with us at this time here on this station as we bring you this message of Let the Bible Speak. So join us again as we continue this very message on Paul in Rome. This is now his HQ for 2 years, as he is the chief apostle of the New Testament, and he directs the various workers, ministers, preachers, missionaries going out to and fro into the Mediterranean world preaching the glorious gospel. And of course, the light is burning brightly in the city of Rome as well. And I trust that the light will burn brightly in all of our hearts. Stay tuned now for the announcements. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.